a season like no other. Falkirk have went through the whole league campaign and not lost once. Unbelievable, phenomenal, incredible, invincible.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall.
Into the box, it's Adams. And McKeever scores! Agyeman lets it run, might have a chance of a shot. It's Agyeman! Oh, what a goal from Alfredo Agyeman!
Still alive, Dylan Tate tries to bend one.
And it's a wonderful goal! Orfield! Oh, he's back! The king is back! Scott Arfield! What a Falkirk return!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Appalling, disgusting, shocking. Those were not the words of a Dunfermline supporter's reaction to Falkirk taking yet another 3 points off them. Those are the words of John McAnally in reaction to the council tax charge in Falkirk going up to 15.2%. More on that later, however. We're here to talk about two big wins and 6 points for the Bairns. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. I am John McAnally, and with me, as ever, the Ginger Gordon Pod himself, the one-man band in the main stand, feeling a little bit rough at the moment. It's Ross Wayne.
Good morning, pal. Good morning. Yes, it was a busy couple of days between Friday night and Saturday, wasn't it?
It has been two big days. I'm glad. Do you know what? It's that way when you've had two big nights out and you're just glad of a Sunday of doing absolutely nothing. I cannot wait to sit my ass on the couch and sit and watch football and have nothing on. The only thing I've got to do today is put up a mirror, which has been sitting there, I think, for a month now, and Siobhan keeps asking me, when are you going to put that mirror up?
So yeah, if that's all you need to do today, though.
That is it. A nice roast dinner on the go tonight and just reflect on what's been a marvellous week for the Falkirk Bairns, Ross.
Fantastic. And it has been a brilliant week between everything that's went on in it. Obviously, it's been we're top of the table. We've got the Kevin McAllister stands. You had the speakers night. John McGlynn and Paul have signed up for another. Few years, so it's just been almost a perfect week. Almost.
I go back to the speakers night, was raised, I think it was over 22,000, was it, for the academy on Friday night, the speakers night at the Chira?
Yeah, I think I heard that figure being banded about. Yep, really good night. Thank you, obviously, as we've said a couple of times on social media, to Scott at Crunchy Carrots for having us. Top guy, and the rest of the guys that were at the table were on good form as well. Peter Martin was his usual wow self.
If you've ever seen Peter Martin talk, I didn't know this, but my mate put me onto this. Peter Martin has a bit of a tick. It's obvious his thinking word, because we all have our thinking words. So Peter Martin says the word wow, and once you hear it, you can't unhear it. I counted about 83 wows. Once I found out about this, so we were sitting at the table, we kind of spread. I gave the nod to everyone about this wow thing, and every time he said wow, we were after howling.
It was funny. He was good though. He holds a room. He really does. And Paul Reid, who we talked about on the podcast last week, I've seen him a couple of times. His impressions are just,
his Jurgen Klopp is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if you close your eyes, he's in the room.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking. Absolutely. And phenomenal night, though. Loads of money raised for the academy. I thought it was great to hear from Tony Begg at the beginning as well.
And he's great. Yeah.
Why it's so important that the academy comes back into its full self, which is obviously the plan. I know we'll talk about it in a minute anyway, but the Stirlingshire Cup final is obviously going to be a large number of the development players playing, as well as some first team players. And what an amazing feeling that would be for the academy players, or some of the academy players, beg your pardon, to see a big crowd on Tuesday night. So if you can get along to the stadium Tuesday night, definitely try and get along.
Absolutely. And shout out to Brian Flynn, our sponsors of obviously Behind the Wall, who's also on the table with us on Friday, who thought he was bidding on a Falkirk women's shirt, but it turned out it was a Rangers women's shirt, and he didn't realise until Saturday when we had to point out, you did know you bought a Rangers women's shirt. Did I?
Yeah, that was pretty funny yesterday, because he was like, I was one of the Falkirk women's captain's shirts. Like, No, it was definitely Rangers, and it includes a meet and greet, so I think he's giving it away to one of his Rangers mates, isn't he?
Brilliant, loved that from Brian yesterday. Actually, I was like, what? Amazing. Yeah, we were obviously wining and dining it, you know, with the hobnobbing it in hospitality yesterday. Ross gave me the guided tour of it. It was good. It was You know, yeah, it was really good yesterday. Stevie Jackson and Alan Dick, as ever, in fine form. Thanks to Alison, who's always brilliant in the suites as well. And you can maybe see in the background, we were the captain's sponsor yesterday, and we thought it'd be fitting to pass on our captain's armband to the legend that is Gene Sneddon. Everyone who's a Falkirk supporter knows who Gene is. Her and Janice have been selling 50-50 tickets since day dot, and she's been in it. We talked about it in the podcast. She's been in and out of hospital, and she was back at the stadium yesterday. It was brilliant to see Jean, and there's only one person that was fitting to be the captain yesterday, and it's Jean Sneddon. So thank you very much to Scott Arfield and Alfie Aguiman, who came up into the suite afterwards and presented her with the captain's armband, and it was great to see Jean back at the stadium.
It really was, and as you said, John, we couldn't have not done that yesterday. It just felt like the right thing, and she had tears, we had tears, there was a few other people with tears in the lounge as well, and it was it was just a really nice special moment, and can't wait to see her again at the next game.
Yeah, absolutely. So well done, Jean, Falkirk Daft captain. Great to see. Brilliant. And our man, it was in hospitality yesterday. Let's go straight to birthday corner now and say a very happy birthday to Kenny Munro. He was in the hospitality. That was his birthday treat in the hospital yesterday, and he got presented with a signed goalkeeper shirt with all the team on it, 50 on the back. So happy birthday, Kenny. Great to see you yesterday. And also, we've got our birthday, Ross.
Not so much a birthday for this one. You'll remember we have quite a few messages, as you know, on a weekly basis from listeners, John. And Lulu, who we've mentioned a few times, I was standing outside waiting for my lift home, and Lulu and her husband shouted me over, and we had a bit
shouted me over.
We had a bit of a chat, and they had been in hospitality as well, so they had a fantastic thing. So I said I'll give her a wee shout out to the other
shout out. Everybody, yeah. Shout for Lulu.
Hey, love it.
You didn't pick up on it the first time, so I had to force
fair play.
I had to force it in, right, bro. Thanks for getting in touch with that, Lulu. Before we get into this week's show, we've got to say thank you very much to this week's episode sponsor. It's SDS Garden Buildings and Landscape. I've spoke to you about them before. Stuart, who runs the company, he's not a typical tradesman. He's actually a woodwork teacher. He's not told us which local secondary school he teaches at, but he runs is a side hustle, because you've got to have a side hustle in this day and age, and he will sort out a UPVC garden, office, gym, workspace, or a pub. We all want a pub in the back garden. That is the dream. Ross has one. We've spoke about that before. But yeah, Stuart's going to sort you out with that, right? He's, like I say, because he's not a typical tradesman, his communication's brilliant. He takes absolute pride in everything he does. And he uses this treated Scandinavian redwood cladding, which he sources, and it's an absolute standout. So if you're looking for something a bit different, Stuart is your man to get sorted out with. So you get, like I say, if you're looking to get one of these kind of offices put in your garden, gym, or like I say, pub, get in touch with Stuart. You'll get all the details for him at sdsgardenbuildings.co.uk, sdsgardenbuildings.co.uk. He won't mess you about. He'll give you the price. He'll sort out the spec. He's, you know, he's a school teacher. He's not going to do you. So get in touch with Stuart, sdsgardenbuildings.co.uk, if you are thinking about getting a wee workspace or pub in your garden. And he'll communicate you through and give you all the CAD drawings and all that. So that's sdsgardensbuildings.co.uk. UK. Let's get into the club news now, Ross. And it was came out of the blue on Friday. John McGlynn and Paul Smith are signed up to 2029. They are on the Bairns bus right until... I mean, that must take the two of them up to retirement, surely.
Close on, potentially. But then, is there a retirement age for football managers? Maybe not. But listen, it's a fantastic bit of news, as you said. Came out of the blue, it did. And massive stability for everybody, on and off the park, really. Because everything starts from John McGlynn and Paul Smith. They set the standard, and they really have over the last 2.5 years. And I can't wait. Like, I know we're all like very, very hopeful that this is going to be a year. But even if it wasn't, right, you trust John and Paul to do the job. And it would be amazing if it's this year. But this deal ensures some real continuity there for the next few seasons.
Yeah, someone actually messaged me and said, oh, that's a bit, you know, if you don't go up, you should maybe have waited till you know, if he's go up and do the deal. I was like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because John Paul got so much credit in the bank. I mean, it's mental to think that, you know, a couple of seasons ago, we're sitting on this podcast and we're having a discussion about after the Airdrie playoff games, should they go or should they stay? It was a unanimous decision at the time. I remember it. We all said, I think it was maybe one dissenting voice that said, he should go,
yeah.
Everyone else should stay. And you can see, obviously, the stability that he's created at the club, the culture he's created at the club, the footballing style he's created at the club. Like, and long may that continue in 4 years up to 2019. I'm delighted with that, absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, me too. It's such an important piece. And you know what? It'll hopefully entice some of the existing players to commit, should they have been thinking otherwise. And also, I'm sure John and Paul have got a list of players that they're keen to bring to the football club at some point as well. And if it helps bring in a certain player or a certain type of player, then it's a win-win as well.
Yeah, absolutely. More good news this week is the ownership of the KM Stand Falkirk Football Club. Delighted to announce that they've acquired the South Stand Development Company and now have full ownership of the Kevin McAllister Stand, which is brilliant news. I mean, obviously, yeah. Sandy Alexander fronted that up. Sandy's done a deal with the club, which is brilliant to hear. And Falkirk now own, I mean, that, I think that was Sandy's hope at the end. And seeing how it's transformed, you know, from just being the South Stand and, you know, shout out to the Country Initiative and my brother David, switching it to the Ken McAllister Stand. And then shout out to the Ultras who've just made it the Hope Street end of the stadium.
Yeah. No, they have. It has been a journey because, as you said, when it first opened, it was extra seats, right? Not just, but it was home fans properly behind the goals. And as you said, Sandy's vision was to have a Hope Street end. And I think, I would say 15, 16 years on, we now have that, as you've said, John.
Yeah.
So massive, like I know the club done it, but like huge shout to Sandy. And obviously, I think Paul Kenny was his sort of board advisor for a number of years. And the fact that we've now got it in our own right is phenomenal. We've got the facilities, the money-making facilities that's in there is all ours as well. The gym is fully inclusive of the football club now too. So there's no downside as far as I can see anyway. And I just think one day we will get an East Stand to finish it off. And I know there was some chat and banter about that on Friday night. I think they may well have tried to take Sandy for pints and halves to try and get him to commit to that.
Sandy, you know what? How we've just bought the stand off you. You know what you want to do? You want to build another stand over that side?
Yeah.
You know what? It is the absolute dream. And we've discussed it several times on this podcast, in the pub, wherever. Like, see if you could get something like here I've just put in down at Somerset, where it's all the hospitality suites in there as well. Suddenly the money, and you know, we've seen the fucking hike in council tax, the money comes away for the council and it comes back into the club, you know what I mean? Because at the moment we all know we only have the ground floor of the stadium with the dressing room and all that sort of stuff, so everything up and above that is owned by the council, you know. And it's like, if you took the hospitality, you know, and it maybe works out for the council as well, because they could then use the facilities up there. If you could get that into an East Stand, and then, you know, like say something like here, it's not huge. It's just a good size stand, but the important part is the infrastructure in around the stand, and it obviously completes the stadium as well.
No, I think Jamie and the rest of the board have said that quite confidently, that they don't want to just put in extra capacity. It's got to be something that's going to bring cash into the football club, potentially 7 days a week. And but you're right, there's various options that are available. I think the club have been quite open and saying, listen, it's not going to be something the size of the main stand. It might not even be something the same height as the Kevin McAllister or the North Stand. However, it is going to be something that is going to look aesthetically pleasing to inside and outside the ground. But more importantly, it's going to bring extra money in and the extra capacity. John, even if it added 2,500 seats on, that takes us up to, 10,000? More than enough.
Yeah.
More than enough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's you know, something like you say, I keep carping on about the air stand, but I've been really impressed by that, and I've not been down to see it yet, but see, I haven't seen the pictures and all the kind of funk, the hospitality suites they've got in there. It looks great. So, that'd be great to get some of that. So, Sandy, if you're listening, come on, big man. You know, who doesn't want to buy another stand? I mean, who just doesn't, you know?
Exactly.
100%. And it does explain, actually, that deal. A certain director that I met at Falkirk Daft Live 3 on last Friday, who was very happy, and I believe he just comes straight from the meeting. So that explains a lot about a certain director who I will not name. Right, let's get into more news. Scott Arfield, Championship Player of the Month, and also Falkirk Football Club Player of the Month. I think that was the obvious choice, I think.
I would say so, certainly from the club's poll. And I've been shocked if anyone else had won it. Although we have had some other fantastic performers in February, but I think these 5 goals, hat-trick on his debut, it really was just going to be Scotty.
How he got man of the match yesterday, however, is beyond, I have no idea. Well, Scott Arfield even said, I have no idea how I've got my match, but I've got a sneaky suspicion there might have been Rangers supporters sponsoring the match yesterday.
There was. That was the chat in from one of the other lounges, that the company, who have obviously put a lot of money in to sponsor the game. There was a few of them, if not all of them, were of a certain persuasion. However, he did say it, didn't he, when he came into the Brockville Lounge? He was like, listen, I was
bang average.
I think he said I was bang average today.
bang average.
But he's very gracious, very funny. And we can confirm, because he smells great as well. It smells great too. So does Alfie. Not a shock that Scotty got both of the awards, to be honest.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Well done, Scott Arfield. Quiet yesterday, we'll talk about it. He obviously got rested on Tuesday and he was a bit quieter yesterday, but we'll get into the Dunfermline game in just a bit with our guest pundit, James Duffy. Stirlingshire Cup is happening on Tuesday. It'll be a mixture of carrying players and some first-team players. I guess you're going to see, all the boys that were on the bench. You know, maybe Eamon Brophy, it's a bounce game for Eamon Brophy, Ross McKeever back.
Probably get a game, you would assume.
Yeah, Darrell Connor, you know, all these boys are probably going to get a run out alongside the young boys. And as I say, it's just a great opportunity. We were speaking to Stevie in hospitality yesterday. We're like, so if we win the Stirlingshire Cup, where's it going to go? So they've got a space set out in hospitality ready for the Stirlingshire Cup. So fingers crossed we can get a result against Stirling Albion. It's 7:45 kickoff. Tickets are on sale for the main stand and the KM stand. Adults £10, concessions £5. Get yourself down if you can. And it'd be great, seeing us lifting another cup at the stadium.
It would be phenomenal. And you know, I don't know if they're planning to, but I think how nice would it be as well if the ultras were there en masse on Tuesday night as well. Because thinking back to the last game against Dumbarton, there wasn't an unreasonable crowd. I think there was maybe 600 or 700 there. It wasn't the noisiest, because obviously it was a Tuesday night against Dumbarton, right? However, it would be nice if the ultras are there on force as well, and we're creating a bit of atmosphere to help the young players and the experienced players get that trophy, because it is a belter of a trophy, as you said.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, get yourself down to the stadium on Tuesday. Before we talk about behind the wall, we've got to also talk about some big Falkirk Daft news.
We do.
Falkirk Daft Live 4 is coming to Behind the Wall. and it's going to be on the evening of the Hamilton game, last game of the season. We are having a pre-party at Behind the Wall. Who knows what will happen? We've got some plans in place for the night. Couple of guests already booked, couple still TBC. But what we thought was, why don't we just do a big party? So we don't know where we're going to be. We don't know if it's going to be, that's going to be a decisive game. We may have won the league by then. We may be in playoffs. So we're entitling this Falkirk Daft Live 4, win or lose, we're on the booze. So that is going to happen at Behind the Wall pre-Hamilton. So that is the 2nd of May. Tickets will go on sale this Friday. Half of Falkirk will probably already have a ticket because Ross will send round the pre-sale link to everyone that he knows in his phone.
You know, you give me the shit every time. I don't send it to that many people. A few.
Well, about 100 tickets had gone before they even went on sale the last time. But listen.
No, surely not.
Meh.
That was because of the women's team.
But yeah, Falkirk Daft Live 4 goes on sale 10 a.m. this Friday. We have plans, but I generally think it's just going to be a really big party. Like I say, win or lose, we're on the booze. It's the last game of the season. We might have the cup in the bag by that point. Who knows?
Which would make it even better.
We all might just be fucking nervous as well. It might just be us real nervous if we're waiting on that game to potentially win the championship. But it's going to be a great night. So we're going to kick it off at 5 o'clock. So get a wee half day in from work. That's what you're going to need to do. Wee half day in from work. I think a lot of people are going to be doing that anyway.
I think they would have done that anyway because of the nature of the game. And I did notice, I know the club will probably open up some of the North Stand for that day, but I noticed last night there was 10 tickets left for the main stand for that game. So it's already 6,000 Falkirk fans going. So I'd imagine the club will open that soon, but it's going to be another big, big night in Falkirk. The town will be buzzing. What better way to start the night, though, than being at Falkirk Daft 4? Win or lose, as you said, we're on the booze.
Absolutely. So looking forward to that. Details will come soon, but tickets will go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. If you don't get the pre-code from Ross, get on Eventbrite and get on our socials, get the link. It sold out in 20 minutes the last time. Let's see if we can do Taylor Swift stroke Oasis numbers this time and get it sold out within 10 minutes.
And we have got slightly increased capacity. We've got that agreed.
Yeah, we've got the nod from Brian Behind the Wall to give us increased capacity. So there'll be 20 extra tickets. And for everyone that was here last time, we're going to get more sound put in as well because there was a few grumblings about sound at the back, but this time, full-on metal concert is what I'm thinking. So, that's going to happen Behind the Wall, last game of the season, 5 o'clock kickoff. We'll go 5 till 7. You know what to expect. Expect the unexpected because there's a couple of plans up our sleeves, but we'll wait and see what happens at TBC. Behind the Wall, that's happening. Remember, if you are in the town, Behind the Wall is the pub you want to go to. The Falkirk Daft Venoms are selling like hotcakes, I tell you. Everyone's trying them. Talk of the tune. Get yourself a Falkirk Daft Venom in there right now. And of course, they run the buses to the games. £5 for the home games. Return transfer as well. And you get your drink with your voucher for the bus. Away games, it's £10 except Ayr and Greenock. Oh, we don't have to go to Greenock again. We've done both our Greenock trips. One more trip to Ayr. So it's only £12.50 for that. And same offer applies. Get your names into Scotty at the bar. Get your name on the list. I think Brian will probably, of the night of Falkirk Daft Live 4, I think he'll run a couple of buses that night, maybe a good few. Great to have Falkirk Daft Army in the pub, and it'll be some buzz, absolutely some buzz. So all the details, behindthewall.co.uk, and as I say, Falkirk Daft Live 4, win or lose, we're on the booze. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Right, let's talk football now, shall we? And let's talk about two big games and 6 points for the Bairns as we faced off against Airdrie and those dirty lot from across the Forth. And we'll do that in the company with James Duffy.
Hello.
Hi, James.
Hey, James.
Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to Falkirk Daft. And we're going to kick off, James, the question what we ask all our guest pundits: how did you end up supporting Falkirk? And you remember your first game?
Since a boy, yeah. My dad took me to my first game against Celtic at Brockville, probably the 1991-92 season, I think. I don't know the exact game because I was quite young. Yeah, so I remember being at the very, very back at Brockville, absolutely rammed, and kind of just playing behind everybody. But I remember being there still. So, yeah.
Was that one of the games where, was that like the 4-3 game or something where we were?
I really hope it was. I can't remember the scoreline. I have looked up, I think I had four home games over two seasons. I can't remember which one it was, but yeah, I remember it was Celtic because I think my dad was there to actually support Celtic at that time. But
yeah, amazing.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. And James, you've been obviously supporting Falkirk for a long time now. We've been asking this question all season. Most disappointing player to... It's had various forms, this question.
It was actually taken last week. I thought I was kind of onto a winner, but John Stewart, without a doubt, has been my most disappointing player. I paid money for that guy.
Was it 35 grand we paid for him, or was it more?
A lot of money. It was like 35, 40 grand, that is, from what I remember.
Mental. Absolutely mental.
Brutal. I mean, I was lucky in the sense that I didn't see much of the Hartley era from just, you know, life.
It's funny that, because like the Presley era for me, because I had moved down south, so I didn't see the Presley era for me. I was down south for 4 years, so I missed like from about a big part of Falkirk. I missed that big part of Falkirk. And so it's interesting you say the Hartley era. I wish I'd missed the Hartley era, to be honest with you, James. But I think there's probably supporters out there, because life, you know, kids get, you know, suddenly you've got two chasing after two toddlers, and the wife are saying, you're not going to the football on a Saturday. And you're like, oh, and you run at kids' parties and all that sort of stuff. So there's that part in your life where you get, you know, stuck maybe not getting to the football as much as you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I missed my daughter's first birthday because I was at the cup final. So I kind of had to toe the line a little bit.
And from that point onward, James never got back to a game.
I almost didn't get away with that one. So,
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast this week. Two big games to talk about. Let's kick off quickly and we'll run through Airdrie on Tuesday night. Ross, five changes to the team. Alfie coming in, Gary Oliver, Sean Mackey, Tom Lang, Miller Thompson, all in the starting 11. And brilliant, as we expected, 1,800 fans at the game, because a lot of people had bought the tickets for it was meant to be scheduled for, Ross.
Brilliant crowds. It looked and felt maybe even more based on the crowd that was given, because I'm not convinced there was 1,200 Airdrie fans there, to be honest, but maybe some of their season the holders hadn't turned up or something. But phenomenal crowd, brilliant noise, and five changes that sounded a lot when you saw the team, but actually it made sense, because obviously we hadn't been at our best against Hamilton, and we were due to be playing three games in a week. So, yeah, the fact that he made some changes didn't shock too many people, I don't think. And the guys who came in on Tuesday night, they did pretty well. Put a shift in as well.
You say we weren't at our best against Hamilton. I don't think we were particularly at our best against Airdrie either, James. But, you know, it was one-way traffic at the end.
In the end it was, yeah. I mean, we had a spell in the first half where we were really quite bad. Airdrie had the most of the possession in that kind of middle period after the goal. Even before the goal, they were probably had the most of the possession. It was, in the end, quite comfortable. But the changes that Ross said, I expected a few. I didn't expect that many. Obviously, Arfield being out, it turned out to be a kind of niggling injury. So that was good to give him that rest and not have to bring him on. But I expected a few changes, but not five. It's not really John's style, is it?
No, it's not. But I guess, Ross, he's got the squad that he's got a squad that he can actually do that. You wonder, you know, because we were so consistent in our squad rotation, his squad last season. I mean, you could just rattle off the starting 11 last season. But I guess with, you know, he's now got the opportunity to rotate. You worry, I think the worry is what James alluded to there, is the tinkerman aspect of it. But he's got the squad now that when you've got three games over the course of a week, you can rotate and rest, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And listen, this is why he's put them all together. And as you said, it's not just like a squad that are full of kind of jersey fillers. These are all starters. Every single player that's on that bench, same way yesterday as well, every single person, if they started a game, you wouldn't bat an eyelid. There wouldn't be any question marks going, oh, not sure about that one. They're all fine. They're all good, really seasoned pros. Some of them are obviously a bit younger than others, but even like the younger guys like Finn, like how many games has Finn played for Falkirk now in the last 2.5 seasons? He must be 60, 70 games or something. So
yeah,
it's put a shift, massive shift in. And yeah, it's just been phenomenal that he's able to do that. But this is exactly what he envisaged in January. The board and the fans with through the FSS, they've allowed him to do this. And obviously Scott Arfield was the icing on the cake. And as James said, we didn't even need to play him on Tuesday night because we had that strength and depth. And I think had you not had that strength and depth, you might have found Arfield probably would have played because it was just a niggle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we didn't start, like James said, we didn't particularly play well in the first half, but we got the goal. And how many goals, this must be in terms of the season, of getting goals in the first 10 minutes. We saw one again yesterday as well, but getting goals in the first 10 minutes, and it was an own goal from Aidan Wilson, you know, and I loved how Gary Oliver just wheeled away and celebrated, and everyone's like, oh, well, what a header from Gary, and then you look back at the player, he was nowhere near it. The ball's in that
ball. He put the defender
off, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it was a great, you know, the delivery from the corner is what made the goal, and Brad Spencer will talk about, again, outstanding performance. And he got his goal as well, James. Apparently, I believe it was something they worked on. Again, the balls of Gary Oliver to feel away to celebrate, and the goal, the balls, I think, I don't know if it was John McGlynn or Brad Spencer said this, I'm sure some one of them said it's something they worked on. I was like, no, you didn't. That was a ball that caught the wind, and the keeper had an absolute nightmare of that back post.
I think the move is probably something they've worked on, because that one touch back to Brad to cross it in. Obviously, I'm not saying he meant to shoot and it like go in at the back post, but that can happen because it's a crowded penalty box. And if it wasn't the wind, it might have been a like big Barney or Hendo annoying the keeper to kind of make sure it puts him off. But you're right, it was heavily wind assisted when you watch it back. But it was good to see the move happen, because like you've said a few times, John, we've now scored quite a number of goals from a similar type of set piece, haven't we?
Yeah,
we're getting quite good at set pieces, to be honest. I've noticed that the last few weeks. Okay, we conceded a lot in the last kind of few months from set pieces, but we're actually getting really good at scoring from them now, which has been a really nice change.
And defending them as well. I think we've dealt with a lot. Like watching that game yesterday, we dealt with a lot of them. But yeah, 2-0 up, and you know, apart from Airdrie, they came into it a wee bit and looking a wee bit more like the Airdrie that they used to. But you know, 2-0 up, half time. What do you make of Miller Thompson's performance, James? Because we've not seen, you know, was that his first start in Falkirk jersey? I think it was. What do you make of him?
I mean, he's come on as a sub on the wing, and you can instantly see how fast he is, and he'll burn any wing back or any full back whenever he feels like it, basically. Through the middle, I don't think he was quite as effective. There were a couple of shots he dragged wide where the pass was maybe the better option. He definitely has a potential. He played in that Dundee United team last year, didn't he? So he's obviously got, you know, great potential for the future. He's not quite done it. I didn't quite think he was right as high up there in the middle. I prefer him as a winger so far. It's early days. But I think it was right to probably take him off at half-time, even though we're 2-0 up. It's still, he wasn't quite at it for me in that game.
Yeah, a couple of changes at half-time, Ross. What do you make of them?
I think it probably needed to sort of change the flow of the game, because you're right, we had some chances, but Airdrie had a sort of 20-minute spell. They didn't do much with it, but they had a 20-minute spell where they were actually keeping the ball and protecting the ball quite well. That's two games on the bounce now. I think our subs have been so, so timely, and the game management from John and Paul has just been absolutely on point.
Yeah, the subs changed the game for me, performance-wise. You know, we're 2-0 up, as I said, but the subs made a huge difference for me.
Yeah, it was good to, you know, it's like you say, it's using that squad to the best of its ability. But, you know, at 2-0, that second half, I thought we played all right in the second half. I thought we played pretty well in the second half. We took control, a bit more control of the game, and a lot more chances, Ross.
We did. We had a few chances. most of them going through Brad, to be honest, until we obviously got the goal, which we'll talk about. But yeah, Brad could have had a couple of goals in the second half to give him his hat trick. That obviously probably the most notable one was the one that was literally just over the bar. And I think had it been probably just that touch lower, it probably would have went in. I don't think the keeper was getting near it. Tough. It was a tough evening for the goalkeeper. I thought he had a tough night.
He's been at Rangers. I was watching. He's 27 years old, Kieran Wright. Right, he's on loan at Airdrie from Rangers, and he's been. He's not made a first team game for Rangers yet, and he's 27 years old. That's mental. And you can see why he hasn't made a first team game for Rangers, because I mean, we spoke to Colin on the podcast last week from the OTL podcast, and he didn't have a lot of great things to say about him either. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely mental. I want to talk about Brad Spencer, actually. Obviously, it was the first time we've seen Liam Henderson back in midfield this season. And James, we had a good chat about this on Friday night. And bearing in mind yesterday as well, does Hendo being put in that midfield make Brad Spencer a better player?
I think so. I mean, they struggled a little bit in the start, the first half of the Airdrie game, to kind of get back to where they were. But you could tell in the second half it was much better. He's just got that something in midfield with Hendo that's just a little bit different. And you can see in his last two performances, he's played very well. The armband helps Spencer as well. I think it gives him that little extra kind of lift. Although yesterday, without the armband, he played brilliantly as well. So yeah, you know, Hendo just, they've played so much together. And Tate's been a little bit off it the last few weeks. So it's been good to get Hendo in there. And I do think they lift each other up.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even work out where Hendo's a phenomenal centre half, but I like him in midfield as well. I wish we could have two of them. Let's clone Hendo and have one in midfield and one in the centre half, because he's just been, and we've talked about it, you know, we'll talk about it on Friday as well. Ross Henderson has been player of the season for us.
Oh. Yeah, without a doubt. And as you said, it maybe isn't a coincidence that Brad's had his best two games of the season, probably, in the last two weeks. In the last two games. It has been on point. His passing's been on point. His tackling's been on point. He's popped up with assists. He's popped up with goals. Like, what more do we want from the guy? And I think the defence is now in a pretty strong place as well, because whether it's Call or Luke,
Tom's
been phenomenal. Yeah. Every game that he's started, he's been brilliant. Sean Mackey's coming at left back for the last two games, been brilliant.
Do you know what?
Form's improved the last few weeks as
I think in the last two games, I was going to say that, Sean Mackey's made that left back spot his own for the rest of the season.
There's a I know we'll talk about Dunfermline in a minute, but there's a strong suggestion he could well have been man of the match had it not been for a Rangers fan in the match sponsor lounge. But I think Sean Mackey, he's made, and it's no disrespect to, we've said this before, we've got two competent left backs there in Leon and Sean, and they are competent, but I think Sean probably gives that extra bit of physicality as well, and the passing that range that he has on him as well. I know we're not talking about Dunfermline yet, but there was a pass yesterday that was just phenomenal that he made.
He
started the game really well, Sean, against Airdrie, and there were some great crosses that he put in. He didn't maintain it through the whole game, but you can forgive him for that. You know, you can't maintain the level he was at in the first little while. But some of the balls across the face of the goal against Airdrie were really good. He continued it throughout the whole game at a high level.
Yeah, let's talk about the big story of the match, however, and it was just brilliant to see Barney Stewart coming off the bench, and however many times the BBC said the former Heriot Watt student, or he's still a student, however many times he talked about that, I lost count. I was actually on BBC Scotland on Wednesday talking about the game, and that was one of the first questions as well. What about Barney Stewart? But it was the story of the match. The young lad, obviously, coming from Heriot Watt University, as we all know, and getting his first goal, first senior goal for the Navy Blue, Ross. And it was just an amazing moment.
It really was. He came on and put himself about, as he always does. But that fantastic cross by Calvin, it teased Barney, because that is, for me, so far anyway, I think that is a typical Barney Stewart goal. I've now seen him score a few goals like that in the Stirlingshire Cup, he scored a couple of goals like that against Dumbarton as well. He just gets in front of the goalkeeper, flicks it over, back of the net, and boy, did he love it. But one of the best things for me was, and you see it in the, not so much the club's highlights, but you know how they put the story of the match out. And I know Ruby Adam and Ashley, they had put some video footage out as well. You can hear, before the crowd even start chanting, when he's celebrating, you can hear Tom Lang and Aidan Nesbitt both shouting Barney Army when they're all huddled together. And then obviously within seconds, the full stand are then shouting Barney Army. Like, what a moment for Barney Stewart. Like, that's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really is a dream.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant to see. And like you say, you know, we all talked about how raw he is, but just love it. Just love his energy, love his enthusiasm. Please, a smile on his face, and you could see that what that moment meant to him, James.
Yeah, I mean, the smile was evident. You know, as soon as he'd scored it, his face lit up, and he clearly was.
You can't buy that smile.
No, you definitely can't. And that's what you want at a club. You know, you want somebody that genuinely, you know, loves it. I didn't make the game. I had a parents' night to go to, but my friends that were there said that it was deafening. The Barney Army shouts were absolutely deafening.
Oh, it was so loud. It was so loud.
To keep their microphone away from the Falkirk fans, because it just,
It's
quiet, you know, on the telly. But it
just, you know, anyone that comes to this called Barney is going to immediately going to have that chant, and it was just brilliant. It was just absolutely brilliant. But 3-0, 3 points, was great to see, you know, and it was needed. It was needed. As we keep saying, just get the 1-0s. But 3-0, you know, once you get that second goal, and certainly we got it in the first half, you thought, there's no way Ayrshire are coming back from this. Which was a worry for the Dunfermline game, but which we'll talk about in a minute. But let's just get your thoughts, first of all, on the Ayrshire game. Chris kicks us off saying, thought Mackie was great, Spencer was amazing, having that bit more cover from Hendo in there. Didn't think many of the team done much wrong without doing too much right either. Barney's a real handful and will develop into a real threat for us, hopefully. One more game down.
Absolutely. Hendo says, great use of the squad tonight. Everyone playing their part, and it will be needed in the running. Mackey must play left back for the rest of the running. Excellent again tonight. Brad was superb, and Hendo played well, but I still feel he'd be better at centre park. Centre parks, even centre back.
He'd be better at centre parks.
He wouldn't be better at centre parks, though. No. And either Tate, Nesbitt, or Arfield should partner Brad. I don't know. I think Hendo, with the defence playing strongly the last two games as well, why move? Why change it?
I think we'll talk about Dunfermline, but I think Tom will be, you know, I'm always going to say that, but I think Tom will be hard to shift out of that defence. Yeah. Linda says, Airdrie played well first half without really troubling us. Thought we were better second half. 3 goals, clean sheet, and buzzing for Barney. Credit where it's due to. Ian Sneddon actually looked competent tonight for the first time ever. Same again Saturday against them. Ian Sneddon, I did see when it was Ian Sneddon that was refereeing, and we know how terrible he's been for us in the past, but actually, shout out to Ian Sneddon, the referee, not the photographer, who actually had a very, very good game.
He did. And it was probably one of the first games he's reffed where you've not actually been talking about him for a bad situation. And for that's both teams as well. He was just really good. Graham said, now, I'm going to use his full name because he got called out by you a couple of podcasts ago, Jordan. You gave him it tight. So fair play to Graham McKechnie.
It's a McKechnie! Is he saying, don't tell me he's saying something positive?
Listen, straightforward win in difficult conditions. Absolutely no failures on the park.
Graham, what a man. He's getting his hat. He's been happy again. I think I've motivated him to become a bit more positive. The power of positive.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with the team. No, it's
nothing to do with the team. So well done, Graham. That is good to see. So shout out to Graham McKechnie for being positive. Back on it. Love it, Graham. Cliff says, a great evening, amazing performance, some skitty defensive moments that we need to get on top of between now and the rest of the season. Onwards!
Indeed. Kyle keeps it nice and simple. So happy for Barney. A deserved goal.
And Pete finishes off with saying, when have you seen a bigger, broader, happier smile than Barney's after the goal? Easy, you haven't. Nobody's ever smiled that much in the whole of professional football, says Pete. Brilliant. Absolutely love it.
After scoring after 38 seconds, I think we came close, to be fair. But
that's true.
Aye, exactly. So, no, brilliant. You know, like I say, it was 3 points. It was 3 needed points. And we went on to the next game. And with the results happening elsewhere, obviously Livingston on the Wednesday night, dropping points against Raith Rovers. Let's talk about David Martindale first of all, before we talk about Dunfermline. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, I saw an interview with him saying he doesn't even want to be in the Premiership. But it's like madness.
Well, listen, see if that's the case, mate. Just
keep dropping points. And the bit that really annoyed me, two very fortunate goals. He's been listening to fucking Stephen Mill and fortunate Falkirk banter on the Big Scottish Football podcast and the Big Scottish Football show too long. Stephen should have copyrighted that. And I hope it comes back to bite both him and Martindale in the balls come the end of the season.
I agree. And if the club have got any sense at all, if we do win it and they do decide to do the open top bus situation, we need fortunate Falkirk
t-shirts. No.
On the side of the bus.
Don't do that, because Stephen Mill will lap that up with a spoon if we have fortunate Falkirk t-shirts, because he'll relish that. So don't give him any of that, right?
See, what you should do, you should get ahead of the game and you should do a secret fortunate Falkirk and sell it to all the Dunfermline fans, and then after they've bought them, then you've got the money and you can put it back into the club.
That's true.
There we go. Sell to the Dunfermline fans. Business. Absolutely. That's, I like it, James. You're talking my language now. Talking about Dunfermline, though, we rode on to Saturday. We all know the nerves, you know, when we're at the speakers night on Friday night, it's all, everyone's like, what are you thinking about tomorrow? It's all, it's the first question you see every, all the Falkirk supporters, what are you thinking about tomorrow? The nerves of, you know, speaking to people, I couldn't sleep last night. It's the nerves of going into a derby game. And we know how, you know, Dunfermline are second bottom of the table and are there for a very good reason, as we saw yesterday. But still, it's a derby game. It's Dunfermline at the stadium. They want to get one over us because, you know, that's been, we've taken all the points from them, unbeaten against them this season. And it's just the nerves going into that game, and anything can happen despite the Cubs' positions. But there was four changes for the Bairns. Cole Donaldson, surprisingly, coming straight back into the starting lineup. That's the one change I didn't see coming, Ross.
Well, we didn't know he was going to be fit, for one. Obviously, that chat came out on Friday night when we were at the Inshira, that John McGlynn had put an interview out to say that Cole was fit and Ross McKeever was back fit, which is both brilliant bits of news. The fact that if he's fully fit, I don't know if I was massively shocked that he started, because he's your captain, isn't he? However, the reason I think there was maybe some shock is Luke Graham didn't actually do much wrong on Tuesday night alongside Tom Lang. But Cole is the captain and he probably should be starting if he's fully fit.
Yeah, I thought Graham was... I guess so. But, you know, I think, like we said, he had such a great game against Morton and then went out injured. So, yeah. And I thought yesterday Cole was outstanding. I thought him and Tom... And that was the thing for me yesterday, and I said this before the match to you, Ross. It was like... We know those two work together because we saw that was our centre half pairing all last season, Cole and Tom, right up to the end. And they just work so well. And I thought Tom was phenomenal again yesterday. I thought he was, you know, Chris Kane got zero change out of him. He was the big threat for Dunfermline. Stephen Mill had said, if Chris Kane plays, we've got a chance.
Well, pre-match, he was the supposed threat. I don't know in retrospect if you could say he was a threat. He had to obviously handle it into the net to try and...
I've seen an angle on that. It was one of the young bloggers put up an angle of it. I think it was Luke, LMCD Vlogs or whoever it is. And he's got an angle of it. And he basically volleyballs it. He spikes it into the net.
But
it was me.
As well, for that angle. Do you see Nicky actually... hits it onto him. So if Nicky hadn't saved it, it might have went in on its own. But Nicky save, and then they had the Kane volleyball in the net. And I was like, oh, what did I do? What did I do?
Honestly.
I was nervous about how long it took the referee to blow, and there was no flag. So I was.
Well, it did. However, obviously, the Dunfermline punters who were at the corner of the away stand hadn't even noticed after the game had restarted. And they were still giving it the biggin. And there was that moment of realisation when they all just started tripping back up to their seats in the stand.
Get it right, memories. Brilliant. So, Cole Dawson start. Barney Stewart absolutely probably deserves his place back in instead of Gary Oliver. Ethan Ross came back in for Miller Thompson, and the one we expected, Scott Arfield, coming back into side. Any grumblings with the team? I mean, the Donaldson one was the kind of a surprise one for me, James, but was there anything else you would have changed or anyone you would have kept in?
No, we were discussing it in the lounge beforehand, and I think the team that was put out was, I think, the 10-11, I think, was what we thought. We weren't sure about Ethan and Alfie, because Alfie did all right, but yeah, not great. I agree with Ross, Cole coming back in was probably the right decision. I expected Tom to drop out. I'm kind of quite happy that he didn't, because they're our players, and I think we should be playing our players where we can, even though Luke's been, you know, amazing since he joins at the start of the season. How big does Tom Lang look, by the way? He's been lifting when he's been injured, I think, and that's only going to further John's love for him, I think. No surprises in the team.
Oh no, he was like, I thought he was a rock at the back again. It was just so good, so good with him and Donaldson back alongside each other. I thought they were brilliant together.
I'm just surprised James even had to hesitate to ask you if you've been looking at Tom Lang. You've done nothing but look at Tom Lang. And I'm sure last night you had a long, hard look at Tom Lang.
Jesus, listen, it's purely platonic, my love for Tom. He's a handsome man, right? But like, you know my love of centre halves and my love of rugged, ball winning, hard tackling, not giving a fuck centre halves. Tom ticks every single box of that, because he's just, like I've always said, he brings aggression to that side, and I don't think we have a lot of that in the side. So when Tom plays, that's all he does. Tackles, heads, boom. And he had a wee sexy turn at one point yesterday as well, which I was loving as well.
He almost scored. So close to a header.
He'll be a bit disappointed in himself if he didn't make contact. Although it did miss, I think it was Barney, and then the keeper came through as well. Did not make any contact. I think he'd be a bit disappointed. But
I mean, that could have... So quick. We started off 100 miles per hour as we used to with Falkirk now, and we get the goal in 6 minutes. Like I said, I don't think there's been a season where we've scored so many goals within the first 10 minutes. And it was, I think we'll hear from John in his interview after the match, but it was Arfield-esque from Brad Spencer as he cut in and just passed it into the bottom corner, Ross. Lovely goal.
Yeah, the full move was really, really special. Obviously, Kaelin Adams been involved, Scotty Arfield, who you've just mentioned as well, Ethan Ross doing what he does, which is just sort of dancing through defenders. I think there was a little break of the ball where it obviously then, because I think it hit off one of the defenders before it got to Barney. Brilliant awareness from Barney, because I think a lot of people have talked about his decision making is maybe not as crisp as Gary Oliver's, because Gary Oliver's got that experienced head on him, right? But Barney, a lot of awareness just to know not to sort of turn and sclaff at the shot. He looked up, saw Brad was in a beautiful position, and as you've said, he's rolled it into the net, which is very Scott Arfield-esque. Lovely, lovely finish, and it set the tone for that first half. It really did. And the noise when it went in was just phenomenal as well.
Aye, and I mean, obviously we talked about the Chris Kane, he could have got immediately back into it, but you're looking back at those replays, Jesus, it was volleyball. Talked about the Tom Lang chance. I thought Calvin Miller and Ethan Ross yesterday, and certainly in that first half, James, were excellent. I thought they caused all sorts of troubles to Dunfermline.
Yeah, they were. I mean, you could tell Calvin at the end of the game was knackered.
I was like, you need to get that boy off. It was like 10 minutes before he actually got subbed off. I was like, you need to get him off now. He is blowing out of his arse.
He had put so much into the game. And when you watch the highlights back, he was instrumental in almost every positive thing we did in front of goal.
They had a breakaway in the first half. And they just tore away, and it was a layoff to Keelan, and Keelan put away, I think Benedictus got him back. But you could tell the difference. That left back for Dunfermline, before he got injured, was slow. The guy who replaced him was rapid, so it was a bit, he kept up with Ethan a bit better. But they were just at it all day and really made a massive difference.
It was.
Makes you ask Callum who, frankly, because they've been so good.
Yeah. I think, you know, and John said this at the Falkirk Daft Live night when we asked him about Callum Morrison. You know, I think the situation arose because John had got all four wingers in and said to them, listen, these are all great. I'm going to work his all round the squad. You know, I'm going to rotate his in and out. And you can see why Calvin Miller has been. I mean, you look at when Calvin Miller. I mean, I've been a critic of inverted wingers, you know, and Calvin Miller's obviously a left footed player. Ethan Ross always cuts in as well. But the numbers they've provided, the two of them, you can't argue with that. You know, you really can't. And it just shows you I'm no football manager because Calvin Miller has been outstanding this season. Absolutely. And again, I thought him and Ross were just. And the teams, and I think it was Michael Tidzer in his interview alluded to it as well. It's like teams know what they're going to do, but they just can't deal with them. They really can't. And I thought, like we say, there's a couple of breakaways from the two of them yesterday. Ethan Ross obviously had that shot where he cut in and hit the side net in. Calvin Miller was causing all sorts of problems with crosses into the box. But yeah, it was just a shame none of them got a goal, Ross, because I think they deserved it.
We did. If we'd been 3 or 4 nil up at half time, I don't think there would have been any complaints, even from the Dunfermline side of things, to be honest. Yeah, we had so many chances. As we've said, Calvin Miller, was on the ball. Sean Mackey had some fantastic cross balls in. Beautiful crossfield pass to Calvin at one point as well. And as you said, John, I think Ethan Ross, the two of them just sort of put themselves into every brilliant opportunity that we could have had. And yeah, they were always going to tire in the second half. But as you've said, you've got the options there between Miller, Thompson and Alfie to come on and start again.
Yeah. We should have been miles ahead going into halftime. And that was the worry, I guess, James, coming out in the second half, that we weren't.
Yeah, I mean, I've tweeted at you guys a few times saying that we need to take our chances, and we're still not quite there. Yeah, we got a few fortunate goals on Tuesday against Airdrie, but we do need to take more of these chances because we should be putting teams away before half time. We've done it on occasion, but we could have done it, you know, double digit times this year, and we've just not managed it. But yeah, not happy how we were playing. They really offered very little.
They didn't offer anything in the first half or the second half, really. The only big worry in that second half was right at the end where there was that kind of bit of kerfuffle in the box and you thought, oh my God, it's going to fall to one of their players. But then Nicky was able to get across and smother it because we looked like we were tiring a wee bit by that point. But in the second half, I mean, it was a bit of a battle in the midfields in the second half, Ross. It was that battle in midfield just seemed to hold up the game, and there wasn't a lot to write back about, really, from a Falkirk perspective, apart from Spencer chance.
Yeah, Brad, obviously that really, really beautiful move between Arfield and Calvin, and obviously Brad almost passed Caresta into the net again. I've not seen an angle of it from behind the goals as yet. Well, I'm sure there'll be something out there. So I don't know how tight it was, but it certainly from our angle didn't look far away at all. But you're right, there wasn't much else to sort of write home about. And that was my fear, was that we're only a goal to the good. Had we scored a second one at any point, you're saying to yourself, the game's done. Then 1-0, there's always going to be that little bit of nervousness. And I think everybody probably felt that at the end when the final whistle went, because it wasn't just a win against Dunfermline. It was a win over Dunfermline with the fact that we've went 6 points clear, because we now knew by that point that Scott Brown's Ayr United had lost to Morton. And it just finished off like a fantastic week for the club.
I mean, that chance that you talked about with Brad, that Arfield actually scanned and let it go past him.
He did. It was a nice dummy, wasn't it?
And I think that's where Scotty's made the biggest difference, is that he's been pretty quiet the last few games. Certainly the way that he started his second stint with us was incredible. But he's, on the face of it, been quite quiet. But when you actually watch what he does, he's a leader. You know, he's always pointing, he's always talking, he's getting other guys involved. The first goal we scored, well, the goal we scored yesterday, little, you know, intricate touches, just perfectly placed, you know, nothing too dramatic, just right, there you go. And all the way through, he's just leading. And, you know, he's not going to score a hat-trick every week.
No.
He had a chance in the first half that he could have, you know, on another day, would have curled that in the top corner as well. A quiet Scotty Arfield is still an incredible player. I feel a bit for Nizzy. You know, I love Nizzy. I think he's a He's tremendous, and I really feel for him not getting, even when he was playing deep when Tate was injured early in the year. I think he was great there as well. I really feel for him. You can't keep like Henry no. out with next to Spencer, and you can't really keep Arfield out unless he's hurt. So, yeah.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it was, like you said, James, it was probably Scott's quietest game he's had since he's come back. And he, on all the mittens, when he was up in Hostad, said he was bang average. And no idea who got man of the match, but it was...
why he got man of the match.
I will know. But it's the qualities he brings to the side, like you say. You know, it's just that experience and that leadership on the park. You know, and as John McGlynn said, that who knows if Brad finishes like he did if Scott Arfield isn't around that team, because it was a great finish, and hopefully maybe Scott's been taken the midfield on the side saying, this is how you do it, boys.
Brad probably could have stuck that away without Scotty being involved, but it's that subconscious thing that you've seen right. Scotty do it a few times. I'm sure he bangs him in training all the time.
Yeah,
it just by opposite osmosis, you know, it just
yeah,
you know, they absorb what he's given out, and if yeah, passed it beautifully in that in the corner.
Right. Aye, it was just. Seems with the news obviously coming through that Morton were beating air as well. You know, you could hear it in the stands, and you can feel the nervousness in that last kind of 10 minutes as well. Everyone's just that way, checking their watches 100 times. Look at referee, blow your whistle, ref. Time's up, you know. And we got over the line. You know, but like you say, Dunfermline offered nothing. That was a very, very poor Dunfermline side. You can see exactly why Dunfermline have been so poor this week. And, you know, speaking to Stephen, you know, we talked about the preview on the podcast, all the boys in the stands saying all this tippy-tappy stuff. I didn't see much of that. I thought that, you know, Kane was arguably their best player. I was very surprised they took off Ewan Otto as well. You could hear the reaction from the Dunfermline supporters as well. Like, he's their best player, and they've taken him off. I thought it was good yesterday. I wouldn't mind seeing him at Falkirk, actually.
The second guy they took off, forgive me, I don't follow Dunfermline players, so I don't know who he was, but they seemed to boo more when that guy came off as well. So
yeah, the winger.
They were really unhappy with that one. Probably a bit clear, but they were not.
Beautiful
happy.
To hear, obviously. I think I know I said this jokingly last week, but the more the weeks went on, Airdrie, aside from the games against Ayr and Falkirk, are on a far, far better run of form than Dunfermline. In my opinion, I think Airdrie, even though there's only 8 games left, I think Airdrie will overtake Dunfermline, and I think Dunfermline will finish bottom. I'm not saying Airdrie's going to stay up, but I'm saying I think they will overtake them and go into the second.
Do you think Airdrie's still got a chance of getting out?
7 points, isn't it? It's not a lot.
It's not a lot. They've still played each other.
When they're playing
poorly,
it's not a lot.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can see the Dunfermline, like, they've obviously brought in all these boys from down south. They've done a Hartley, I would suggest. A lot of double barrel names in the team. I think it was 3 double barrel names in the team. So you don't know what you're getting. And see if you're in a dogfight at the bottom of that championship. Airdrie have got it in them. I would say, though, Ross, Airdrie have got the players in that squad that know what they're doing at that end of the table.
With each other as well. You know, you're right that you bring players in, they can be good players, but they're not a team.
Yeah.
And if they're phenomenal players and they're not playing as a team, it's going to go wrong.
If they get an injury to Chris Kane, they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Chris Kane was his usual experienced self, winning fouls left, right, and centre, trying to play volleyball and putting the ball in the net. He might have got away with that on a different day, by the way, if it hadn't the referee hadn't spoiled. But I actually thought the referee had a good game yesterday, Callum Scott. He was good yesterday.
I thought he did okay.
Let a few things go.
The only thing, criticism, I think this is just a ref thing now. They're forever pulling the playback when there's an advantage, which just rips my knitting. But that seems to be all of them rather than just like one of them. See, when you look at the fixtures for this weekend, though, next weekend, Airdrie are at home to, granted it's Livingston, but they're at home. Dunfermline are playing Friday night against Raith. I personally think Raith will beat them at Starks Park. And if that's the case, you're Airdrie sitting on the Saturday thinking, we win today. We still play Dunfermline. There's your gap gone, pretty much. So I just think Airdrie's got more about them. I think their run of form is far, far better. than Dunfermline. And I saw nothing from Dunfermline yesterday that said that they would scrap well. Even if Dunfermline finished second bottom, can you see them potentially being good enough to get past a hungry, better team in
League One? I don't know if there's the quality in League One. I don't know if there's
I'd
the quality.
I hate it if it was Cove in Cove One.
Oh,
that would be... Then Dunfermline going down would be great, but it would really take the edge off it if Cove came up in their place. I would hate that.
Go on to Steny. But listen, that full time whistle blowing, the reaction to it was great. And as Ross, you've said on the podcast, just keep the one. I'll take that every day of the week.
Absolutely.
I'd like probably a bit more security and a little less nerves. So if you could do 2-0 or 3-0 Falkirk, that would be smashing over the next couple of games, because I don't know, 8 games to go, I don't know if my nerves can handle another 8 games like that yesterday. I really don't. But we're almost there.
I wasn't nervous necessarily towards the end of the game, because even though it was only 1-0, they were poor. They kept running the ball out of the plane on their own. Without us even touching them. A ball across the face of the goal, you can always just get a toe on it and knock it in. That, yeah, I agree, you're nervous, but they were so bad and we were just perfectly managed. Second or third gear, I think we got out of yesterday, if that. Yeah. I wasn't nervous about the result, but
anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Just
absolutely. Things. Absolutely. Well, let's hear what John McGuinn had to say after the match.
John, it's a big game and a massive win. You must be really, really pleased with that result.
Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm so delighted, yeah. Our third clean sheet in our last 4 games. Nicky's no had very much to do. Defenders were very, very good. The team defended us really well. And we got a great start in the game with Brad's goal, which was a well-worked goal. I think there's a number of players involved, Ethan Ross to Scotty Arfield to Big Barney. And obviously Brad, a really, really cool, composed finish, which we've been looking for Brad to do that for some time now. And it was Kenny Scotty Arfield-esque, the finish. I'm glad that Braz managed to pick that up off him and gave us a great start in the game. And I don't think anyone would have complained if we had been 2-0 up at half time, because I think we went towards their goal, at every opportunity. We just couldn't get the final ball right, and somebody on the end of the final ball. And even when we did, I think Ethan Ross is cutting from that right hand side, and he's came in and he struck a really, really good ball, but I think it was straight at the goalkeeper, I think. I've not seen it back. So maybe a little bit of composure to bend it in the corner. And I think that's all we needed. We just needed the second goal just to settle us down a little bit and be a little bit more composed. But so proud of the boys. It's a huge game, derby game, big grudge match. Our fans were magnificent, absolutely magnificent. The noise they made, the atmosphere that was out there today probably gave the boys that extra edge, especially late in the game when we didn't kill it off. We had to keep going right to the death. When guys are getting a little bit tired, played Tuesday night and then obviously out here today again. A lot of energy put into both games. So I'm delighted for each and every one of all the players, everyone involved. Over the 2 games, we've mixed it up. We've put players in and today put other players in. And last Saturday, it was kind of like the same type of thing. We've been rotating the squad a little bit, giving everyone like an opportunity to go and play and to stake a claim and to keep at it. And I'm delighted that the guys came up with the goods today.
Happy John. Happy John.
Absolutely. He obviously mentioned the fans there. I think he's right. I think the fans probably did help the players towards the end of the game because it was noisy. And probably the Morton result coming through probably helped increase that notch ever so slightly as well. But the fans were just superb yesterday.
They were, sure. The main stand were singing in hospitality and everything. The main stand were singing. It was all happening yesterday.
That's it. All go.
Let's see what you guys have to say about the match. Elsa, start of the BBC. I was watching the Airdrie match on the telly. I was watching, and then Elsa appeared on my telly. I was like, it's Elsa on the telly.
It was a good piece she did.
She was great. Absolutely smashing. So Elsa kicks us off by saying, they were mince and we weren't really troubled. Should have been a few goals to the good by half-time. Hendelkow and Barney were immense. Professional performance all around and 3 points, all that matters. Where do I catch the Wayne train?
Grahamston? Soon?
Grahamston? Soon?
Robert, and this could well be the title of this week's podcast, unless there's something better we can think of, but Robert keeps it simple. He says, I want to have Sean Mackey's babies.
Fair enough, fair enough. Liam should have been comfy, but we just didn't seem clinical recently. Didn't worry us until the last minute of injury time.
It's true. Yeah, it's a good shout. Craig R says, great win and performance. Spencer oozed class today, and a few more goals would have topped it off. The Morton result makes it a brilliant Saturday night.
George Bowie messaged me saying, you're welcome. That was he's taken all the inspiration. He's inspired Morton. He's played bits and pieces for the club. He's maybe been, I hope he was in the Morton changing room getting in their ear with some banging tunes before the match, and that's what's inspired them to win against there. Dave says, Hendo masterclass today, should have scored more goals, but 3 points were the main thing. 10 out of 12 against the Spurs is a great return. It is, you know, they've no touched us this season. I mean, we should have won that game at East End as well, the 3-3 game. It was a great game for the neutral, but we should have seen that game out, and it should have been 12 out of 12. But, you know, fingers crossed we don't look back at that at the end of the season and regret it.
That's true. Casky boy. It says, choo-choo, all aboard the Wayne train. That is all.
If we do, you know, we've talked about Falkirk Live 4, Ross. If, and it's a big if, we have got the championship secured, we will change the name of the event to the Wayne train. At the moment, the working title is Win or Lose, We're On with Booze. But if we do wrap it up before the event, we'll change it to the Wayne train, okay? Craig C said, solid enough and never really troubled. Definitely should have killed the game off with the chances we had in the counter. Result is all that matters now, though.
Indeed. And finishes off as Jabba. I think one of the underrated points of today could be the utilisation of the subs. Every one of them was timed perfectly, and they all committed to their roles and executed them with perfection. Nesbitt and Aguiman ruined everything that Dunfermline tried at the end with their efforts. And I think that's a brilliant point by Jabba. And I think Scott Arfield alluded to it in Hospitality, John, didn't he, as well? Because I think Alan, the host, had said to Alfie, what was the gaffer's message? And Scott, before he could answer, Scotty nipped in and went, just fucking run, just run. So they did, and I thought like Nesbitt came on like a man possessed.
He came on like, you were going to put me back in this team, Mr. McGlynn, because he came on, he was absolutely a man possessed. He was all over that part, it was great. And Alfie, just get the ball to the corner, Alfie, it was brilliant.
I mean, Alfie's first thing when he came on was a wee kind of three-touch thing and straight up the wing. I was like,
yeah, it was nice.
That's what he's here for. And then at corners or throw-ins, whatever, in that area. Big Alfie in the corner, just standing up to any of them. They couldn't get past them.
I do think, however, I was caught. Jabba says he got all his subs timings right. Calvin Miller should have been off 10 minutes before he actually got subbed off because he was knackered. But it was great. And obviously, Alfie made the usual Alfie impact when he comes on. Just Captain Chaos at his very best. Love it. Absolutely love it. Right, big decision to make now. We're going to take it across the week. Both can take an Airdrie and the game yesterday. Who is Falkirk Daft rated player of the week? Ross Wayne.
There's a few players that it could be, but if it's across the week, both games, I'm going Brad Spencer.
Bradley Spencer. James, what are you thinking?
Yeah. I can only echo that. It's Brad for me all day. Definitely some good performances. Sean's lifted it. You know, Hendo retained his kind of solid 7 every game, if not a little bit better. You know, for me, Spencer, with it.
Right. Smashing. It makes it 3 for me because Brad was, like we talked about, having him beside Hendo back in midfield, just all sorts of good feels, as the kids would say, when they're playing in midfield together. I don't even know if I've used that in the right context there, but I my kids say things like that. So yeah, good feels for Brad Spencer this week, and the Falkirk Daft rated for him makes it 2 for the season. Dafty, is it Brian Flynn or are we going to give it to Chris Kane? I'm torn, Ross.
Well, Brian buying a Rangers women's top at an auction instead of a Falkirk one that he thought it was is up there. However, I do have an alternative.
So
for those who regularly listen to this podcast will remember about 3 months ago, Falkirk Dafty of the Week was to an unnamed Falkirk volunteer who told me, just as I was about to eat in hospitality, that he was going to be getting circumcised. Said Falkirk volunteer proceeded to have his operation last week and then came to the speaker's night with what he told me was his foreskin in a jar. And I'm looking at it going, yeah, I'm not touching that. I'm not touching it. As it turns out, it was tomato skin. However, to the untrained eye, it looked like foreskin. So I'm going to give it to unnamed Falkirk volunteer for Dafty of the Week.
I will agree with you. Let's give it to the unknown Falkirk staff member who also informed me that he was going on holiday and that he just, I said, are you going to be all right with your op? And then he said, oh no, I'll just be lying about naked. And I was like, I don't need this information in my life. I'm just lying about naked and the thought of that, not great. So unnamed Falkirk staff member makes it 2 for him for the season. he's in contention up there with Derek Steele and the referees who have had 3. So he's there. So 2 for the season. Dylan Easton also's got 2 as well. He's still got the chance to make it 3. Brilliant. Okay. Right. We're almost done. But before we go, it's time for Falkirk Daft versus James. And I am in charge of the questions this week. So
I'm nerve-wracking bit because I always like to think I'm pretty good at it, but I'm not.
Oh, I think you'll do fine.
John, obviously... I don't, because I've got a change of location today. I don't actually have anything to write my answer down on. So
Something you can write your answer down? Right. So we'll get James to write the answer this time, and we'll come to you for this. Right. Okay, gents. You know how the game works. 5 questions on Falkirk, penalty shootout style. We'll see who wins. Right, so let's kick things off with question number 1. Name any ex-Bairn currently playing for Queen's Park. Name any ex-Bairn currently playing for Queen's Park who are obviously our next opponents.
Yep.
Right, well, you got written the sorry, Ross, what's your answer?
Louis Longridge.
Louis Longridge is one answer. James, what have you got for us?
The goalie, Calum Ferry.
Yes, you've went for the most bizarre answer out of them all. Zach Rudden, I think, is the most obvious answer out of them all, but well played, both correct. Well done. So, 1 apiece. Right, next question. Richard Cadet left Falkirk to join which club? Richard Cadet left Falkirk to join which club? James writing down. James... Yep. You got this answer written down. Ross, what you got?
Millwall.
Millwall. And James?
Bradford.
2-1, Ross Wayne.
There we go.
You're getting mixed up. He came from Brentford,
yeah,
James.
I thought he would come back. He went back.
It was Brentford and he moved to Falkirk. Remember when Brentford and Falkirk, this mad thing where we just seemed to sign players for Brentford, like Eddie May and all that sort of stuff?
We did, and the fans had a link as well because of that. I'm sure there was Brentford fans came up.
Let's get that fat link up rearranged now that Brentford are in the Premiership and get some Brentford boys in there at Falkirk. I think that's a great shout for the club. So 2-1
back as well, absolutely.
Yeah, 2-1 to Ross Wayne. Next question, how many points are we currently ahead of Dunfermline? How many points are we currently ahead of Dunfermline? James writing down his answer. Ross, have you got an answer for us, Ross? Right, okay. Ross, what's your answer?
I looked at this last night, and unless I've cocked up here, I think it's 33.
33, James?
I've got 36.
It's 3-1, Ross Wayne.
Because you know why? Because I sent a text to a Dunfermline fan saying, pop a jumper on, it's minus 33.
There you go.
Well, I put minus 30, I think it was a few weeks ago, so I thought we'd had 2 games better than them since then. So.
Does that mean you win?
I think it is.
You can still draw. You can still draw.
Yeah.
You can still draw. Right, okay, you might not get this one, Ross, actually. The song Local Hero, which is often played at the start of the Falkirk matches, is performed by who? Local Hero is performed by who? You know the song. I think it was played when Scott Arfield came back.
I have written my answer.
You have written your answer, James Duffy. So this is Ross's Achilles heel music. I've went for a music-based Falkirk question, and he will have no idea. So if you got it, it's 3-2.
So this is a complete guess, right? And it is Newcastle related, and you'll laugh at my guess, but I'm going to say Jimmy Nail.
I could see where you went with that.
It's a complete punt.
James, I think, is probably going to have the correct answer. What have you got written down?
I believe it to be the Sultan of Swing, Mark Knopfler.
It is the Sultan of Swing, Mark Knopfler, so well done.
We'd never have got that.
2 Final question.
I was listening to it in the shower yesterday. So I'm getting myself up for the game. So
I love that. Absolutely love that. I think I got played at the start of the game yesterday as well. So.
Every game, isn't it?
Was that, yeah? I don't know if it's every game. They seem to switch it up now. So
I think it depends who the announcer is. I know Dave Mack religiously plays it, but I'm not sure if it is always...
He's Thunderstruck and local hero now.
Yeah. Thunderstruck. I'm always a big fan of Thunderstruck at the start of the football match. Right. Okay, final question. See if you can equalise and go to a tie break, Ross. Right, is an easy one. Who is Falkirk's record signing?
Bloody John Stewart.
As in, we've paid the most amount of money.
Who was that?
I think we've had this before and I got it wrong.
Have we had this one before, have we?
I think so, and I'm sure I got it wrong that time as well.
Looks confident. That's all I'll say. I better get a tie break. I didn't even have a tie break ready. I wasn't even ready for this situation.
I don't think you'll need it, I'm afraid.
Oh, really? Right, okay. You got something written down, Ross? James?
Yeah, I do.
Right, okay. Ross, give me your answer.
I remember last time I incorrectly said this was crunchy, and I think it's still wrong. I'm going to go with Derek Ferguson.
Derek Ferguson, what have you written down, James?
Just the fact that he paid 40 grand for John Stewart, I've just said
that. It is not John Stewart. It is Derek Ferguson, signed from Sunderland by John Lambie for club's record fee of, I think it was £350,000. There you go. So, Ross...
I had no idea we'd paid that much money for a player, ever. So.
I know. There you go. Ross, you take the glory on that one. Congratulations.
Play the Champions League music, John, if you've not already done it. There we go.
There we go. It's playing.
Just want to thank everybody, my fans and the Tesco shoppers and behind the wall.
You finally got found out about that one.
Oh no, jeez. Right.
That was funny. That was funny during the week.
Yes, if you didn't hear that, the big Scottish football podcast. I thought I'd got away with opening the Tesco in Larbert until my brother decided to email Ewan and Stephen and let them know that this had happened, and I got it tight, and I'm still getting it tight. So thanks for that,
John, because it was me that gave Ewan the sweaty octopus AI generated image. So I apologise.
Oh, was it you, James? Yeah. Jesus. Everyone's against me. Everyone's against Falk. Don't side with the Jambo and the bloody Fifer. Jesus.
Well, can I just double check? Have I to send James the pre-link for Falkirk Daft Live, or have I not?
Yes. Don't worry, though. Falkirk will have it. So if you don't get in touch with Ross, he'll sort you out for the pre-link for Falkirk Daft Live 4. James, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate your time. Great insight. And, you know, good to chat about John Stewart yet again on the podcast.
Happy to. And as I said to you at the last moment, Daft, we all appreciate what you do, because it's been a big step to the fan engagement and things like that, and it's just a great laugh as well. So yeah,
cheers, buddy.
Thank you very much, boys.
We try our very best. And if you want to be a guest pundit just like James, get involved for next season. pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global.
Right, we were hoping to speak to Angel from the Spiders Talk podcast, but we did message him at 11:15 last night, and he said, yeah, no bother, and then he's clearly forgot. He was probably drinking at the time and completely forgot about it. So Angel's not on with us this week, and it's usually great to hear from Spiders Talk's podcast. They're a good bunch of lads over there. Let's talk Queen's Park. The last time we travelled to Hampden was on the television, and it was a really good Falkirk performance that night from the Bairns. They're obviously coming off the back of one of the greatest results in the club's history, if not the greatest result in the club's history, when they beat Rangers, but went to Aberdeen, went up to Pittodrie, kind of got shown up yesterday and at the weekend on the telly there, and getting beat 4-1 from Aberdeen. Only one win in the last six games from them, Ross.
Yeah, they're not in the best of form, and they were obviously very, very close to beating the Ayr last midweek. So no, they're not on the best of form. They do have a midweek game as well this week, John. I don't know if you noticed. So we've obviously got a clear week now until we face them. However, Queen's Park are at home on Tuesday evening again. I think it's Morton, I want to say. I can double check that very, very quickly. But yeah, I'm sure it's Morton on Tuesday night. So they do have another midweek game. I think this is their second or third week in the spin where they've got a midweek game as well. So will that play into Saturday? I don't know. Just a bigger pardon, they're at home at Partick Thistle on it. So that's actually quite a big game for the final playoff spot. Realistically, you would think if Queen's Park don't win that, it won't help them in that quest for fourth. But they're not on the best of runs, no. And obviously, with the exception of the Rangers result, they're kind of toiling in the league. I think it's four or five losses and just one draw in the last six as well.
Yeah, 5 points off the promotion playoffs, but they're only 6 points away from that Rose relegation playoffs. It's all quite tightening up right there in the middle of the pack. You know, but Queen's Park, like we said, first game of the season, were a really good football inside, and they play good football. As I said before, though, the Hampden pitch seems to fit our game really well. I mean, we say that, but it's the same size as the Falkirk pitch, isn't it?
It is, but that's maybe why it does suit us, and it tends to be of a decent grass quality as well. Admittedly, I haven't seen any of their recent games. Do you know, I tried to find highlights from their game against Ayr and I couldn't see any. But I will have a look, because obviously Hampden you would expect to be fairly decent pitch, but it's getting a lot of games on it just now because Queen's Park have been playing catch-up with their football, and obviously they're playing on Tuesday night as well. But it does suit us, that big pitch. And as you said, it is exactly the same measurements as Falkirk Football Stadium. So maybe that's going to be a benefit to us. Since they lost Dom Thomas, I think confidence in the sort of middle of the park's been lost quite a bit. He was someone who drove them forward, both defensively and then in attack as well. So they have signed a lot of players. Like when you look at the amount of players that they've signed on loan anyway, and they've all came from pretty decent levels, as in stature of clubs. I mean, they signed a couple of Rangers players.
Leon King signed for them, and he was playing Champions League football last season, which
absolutely.
Is
mental. Yeah, a couple of Rangers boys, a couple of players from the Premiership in England as well.
Adam Montgomery, you know, left back from Celtic as well. Like they've got a lot of good young players in there.
They do. And and they didn't lose too many of anyone other than Dom Thomas, really. So who knows how it's going to go, but we are going there with a lot of confidence. I think, unlike last time, I think there was about 1,100 Falkirk fans at the game, with it being a Friday night and on TV. This one's not on TV at all. It's a Saturday afternoon. We're 6 points clear at the top of the league. I would not be shocked if 2,000 or more Falkirk fans.
Let's fill Hampden.
Yeah, 52,000. Let's do it. But I think that would be a huge, huge travelling support. And I know Hamden's massive, right? So it's not going to look brilliant anyway. But see, because it was quiet last time, because when Queen's Park play there, you would think the noise would just get lost. But actually, when the away fans are making a lot of noise, it does echo. So it comes across like pretty loud for the players. So it's a huge, huge game. Ayr are obviously got a tough game on Saturday as well. Livingston are away to Airdrie, who we've just mentioned too. So there's no
Ayr away at Thistle, is that right?
Ayr are away to Thistle, and Livingston are away to Airdrie. So granted, you could argue that the Livingston should probably be Airdrie, and they may well. However, Airdrie have a almighty fight on, and they have been doing pretty well against most of the teams recently. So I just think depends how Friday night goes as well. If Dunfermline do get beat off Raith Rovers at Starks Park Friday night, will that give Airdrie an extra incentive to try and claw back 3 points there too?
So I tell you what, it is so tight, and there's a lot to play for. That fourth place is well and truly up for grabs when you look at the Raith Rovers, who have been pretty honking and been up and down with their form. They've got a chance of hitting fourth. They've got the chance of getting into that fourth position, as have Morton as well, because there's only 4 points separating Thistle from Raith Rovers. Hopefully, from our perspective, Thistle go out and beat Ayr on Saturday. That would be the perfect result for us.
It would be, yes, that would be phenomenal if they do that, and that would obviously help cement Thistle's spot in fourth place, as you've said. So it's exciting. It's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting as well.
Isn't it? What are your thoughts then? What's the score going to be against Queen's Park? What are you thinking? What's your team as well? Because we can talk about teams now, because we've got so many. What would you put in your team?
I am not convinced there will be too many changes I think Gary Oliver might come in for Barney.
Mm-hmm.
Eamon Brophy is obviously potentially going to be fit. Would he start him? I don't know. It maybe depends if he gets any minutes against Stirling Albion on Tuesday night. Maybe. Or will he not want to risk him against Stirling Albion on Tuesday night? That's the other question. I don't think there'll be many changes. I genuinely don't. I think it will be the team that started yesterday. I think that will be the core. The only question mark is, will it be Barney? Will it be Gary Oliver? Will it be Ross McKeever? Or will it be Eamon Brophy? That's the changeable position, in my opinion. And it's not that Barney did anything wrong. He put himself about massively. But Gary Oliver does bring you that experience as well at the top of the park.
I think going away from home, Gary Oliver's like in that Hampden pitch, the way Ethan, and we talked about the importance of Ethan Ross and Calvin Miller, excuse me. I think Gary Oliver being brought into that side and letting them, because when he drops in, let them go. And I think obviously Scott Arfield that on the big Hampden pitch will do really, really well as well. So yeah, I tend to agree with you in the change. I think I would bring in Gary Oliver for this game, but we'll wait and see what happens. And as you say, the options, obviously Ross and Eamon potentially being on the bench as well, is really going to help things out there. We'll wait and see. But score-wise, Ross, what are you thinking?
I'll continue my any win will do mantra. I'm going to go a similar scoreline to what we've seen during the week. I'm going to go... I'm going to go 2-0 Falkirk. I was thinking it might, could potentially be... Could we score more than that? But I think 2-0 Falkirk. What are you thinking?
2-1, I think. 2-1.
Any win will do, John. Any win will do.
We'll take 1-0. I mean, the good thing is we've got a wee bit more breathing space now. It's with a 6-point gap. But again, I'll reiterate, I think we can only afford to lose one more match.
Yeah, no. Well, as Callum said on the podcast last week, the team who wins the division tends to only lose 4 or 5 games maximum.
Yeah.
We're at 4 the now. Ayers at 6, Livingston's on 4 as well, so it is tight. You're right, we probably can, but then if this utopia that we're all hoping for, like airdrop points, Thistle drop points, every week, if we could just get an extra point there, honestly, I know I've got high hopes for trying to win this league before I go on my holiday, right?
I would be laughing my ass off as Ross receives the word of the fact that Falkirk have won the league while he sits at a cheerleading competition in Florida.
There are no greater worries for me just now other than that scenario.
Can you imagine your face and your reaction when you're sitting there watching all these lassies jumping out and going, woo! It's weird, all steaming.
And I'm sitting looking at my phone going, oh, here we go.
Oh, the messages you would get and the abuse you would get for that. You will never hear the end of it. Remember, one of our friends didn't get to go to Prague. He missed going to Prague when we all went, when we played those friendlies over there. And he got tight for, I mean, you still get I get it. The Hearts game, I still get
it. You still get it 23 years later after, 22 years later. After
this would be even greater than any of those.
If I know John McGlynn as I think I do, he will not want that to happen and he'll make sure it happens.
his pal, I was just messaging for the, can you just chuck it today so Ross can see the celebrations. Well, we'll wait and see. We're far away from that. We're 8 games away from that. So fingers crossed we can get one against Queen's Park and get the ball rolling as we head to Hampden on Saturday.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
That is it for Falkirk Daft. Thanks very much. A very long one this morning, I have to say. We've been recording for about an hour and a half now. No, 2 hours. 2 hours. Yeah. Jesus, we're getting on for a bit. Sorry, a lot to talk about, a lot to deal with. But before we go, thank you very much to everyone who got on: Scott Sloan, Row of Honour, Brian James, Archie, Doogie, Joe, Jamie, Grant, Phil, PGM, Dave, Ingy, James, Dell, John, Jane and Catherine, all on Scott Sloan, Row of Honour this week. And I have got a player for you.
Go on then.
Our first foreign signing. Do you know who our first foreign signing was?
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, not really. He's not really our first foreign signing. But first one that came from a foreign club.
Oh, right.
Because Dragutin Ristić, I believe, might be our first...
Yes, that's true. I would have said Ristić had you not ruled him out there. But I can't think. Wait, is this a player we may have met over the weekend?
No.
All right, okay, it's not Ivo then.
It's not Ivo Dembélé. No. Sabatino Damasus, the Italian stallion.
Wow, there we go.
There you go. I think he, and someone will point me wrong for this, but I think he was our first foreign sign. So Dragutin Ristić obviously arrived from Dundee, I'm going to say.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, yeah, but I think he was our first signing from abroad, Italian. Never kicked a ball. I think he came off the bench once.
He got about 6 minutes against Partick Thistle from memory. I'm gonna get. I have to give him a Google. Let's see where he's. Let's see what.
See what Sabatino Damasus.
If he's even still
alive.
No, you're right, John. We signed him from an Italian team on a free transfer, and he got one sub appearance. Yes, he signed from L'Aquila. Never even heard of that team, to be honest. Yeah, that is a random shout. Good one going though. That is a good name to throw.
Sabatino Damasus is your Falkirk player to prove that you've reached this point. So tweet us and see if you can get the spelling right on Sabatino Damasus. There we go. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, Falkirk Daft Live 4, win or lose, we're on the boost. Stroke Wayne Train will be happening on the 2nd of May at Behind the Wall. Tickets will go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Before we go, I've got to say thanks to our sponsors as well. We've not mentioned them yet. We were in hospitality, Shot Corner with them yesterday. Ian Mitchell and the rest of the Falkirk Football Fans in training. If you want to be involved with the boys, it's very easy. They are down there at the stadium 8 till 9 and on Tuesday 7:30 till 8:30. Get fit, make friends. That's what it's all about. Ian had a great time yesterday with him in hospitality, great chat as ever, and they've got a whole bunch of boys, Ali, Doogie, the full bang, Willie, they're all there. Get in touch with them, link is below, and if you want to get in, if you're not up for playing those games, they've got the Super Vets football stuff going on, that's over 50s, 8-a-side, and that happens at the stadium between 5 and 6 on a Friday. So get involved with that. It's a joint initiative with the Falkirk Foundation Walking Football Squad. So yeah, loads to get involved with. We're the Falkirk Football Fans in training, and Alava Cup is not far away. We'll need to get details from Ian and the boys so we can start pumping the tyres on that, because it's happening at the stadium. Teams from right across Europe are all meeting at the Falkirk Stadium and just having fun, and it was a
mighty Nottingham Forest are taking part as well.
Forest are playing it as well, so you should be cracking. That's going to be happening at the Falkirk Stadium very soon, so keep your ears and eyes out for that. On to Queen's Park, like I say, and if you want to look the part, get your merch, Falkirk Daft merch. You can do that, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Pints and prints, I've also got some Falkirk Daft t-shirts. Seen so many people kicking about in t-shirts that Gordon's made up there. I've got several in the collection. So yeah, if you want to look the part, get our merch on Pints and Prints or at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. We're on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and you can see our lovely faces in that beautiful picture of Gene Sneddon getting the captain's armband. You can check that out on YouTube if you watch us there, and hopefully we'll see Gene back in the stadium for the next game, which is against Airdrie on the 22nd, not far away. It's tightening up, it's squeaky bum time, it's the business end of the season, all those cliches, we're here for it. 8 games to go, 24 points to play for. Will we win the league when Ross is in Florida watching cheerleaders? That's the big question though. We will find out over the next couple of weeks, but Queen's Park starts it off this Saturday at Hampden. We'll see you there. And until next time,
expect unexpected, buddy. Choo choo.
We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft.
for everyone who's kidding up and being a Falkirk in the Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.